I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy and loving God, we thank you so much for the opportunity and, yes, the responsibility we have to come and worship you. We pray, O Lord, this day that as we have heard your word and as your word is proclaimed, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name, O Lord, you who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. This morning, we continue our sermon series based on our church-wide study, God's Chisel, Becoming God's Masterpiece. The first week, we looked at the idea of inviting God to come into our lives and chisel away those big pieces that tend to separate us from God, those sins, large and significant, and perhaps even and especially those sins that we think are insignificant, to ask God to chisel those away so that we might be the righteous persons that God intends for us to be. After that, we looked at the need for refinement, to ask God to smooth away all the rough places in our lives, those places where, unfortunately, we have had habits that have shaped our living that perhaps have been detrimental to our life with Christ, to take away those unreal expectations and assumptions about our lives that really do not speak the truth of the beautiful people that God has created us to be. This third week, though, we have a responsibility to act. We have asked God to take care of those things, to chisel away the large chunks, to refine the children of God that he wants us to be. But today, in this chapter, the skit guys ask us to take a stand, to decide what direction we want our life to go. What path should we take? Where is it that God might be leading us? Even with all the work that we may have have asked God to do in us, there still is that responsibility in our own living. Will we take the easy way, the route of least resistance, or will we take God's way, even if it's uncomfortable, challenging, and not the way the rest of the world is going? The chapter from this book reminded me of my favorite Robert Frost poem. Probably many of you know this. Maybe you learned it in high school or came across it at other times, but it's Robert Frost's poem, "The Road Not Taken." Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling you this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Life, our lives, are a series of choices. We constantly need to make choices about which way we will go, what route will we take, what path will we journey on. Choices that sometimes in our past maybe have not been as beneficial to our living as we might have hoped. choices perhaps that we made that, looking back, have had consequences that we didn't expect. But the truth is that each and every day we have the opportunity to take a new road, to go down a new path, to leave behind the path that we've taken before and go the way that God would wish us to go, would want us to go. And usually that's the road less taken, the road less traveled. It's usually not the easy way. It's almost always the difficult path. Regardless of the path we've chosen, there are opportunities to take new paths, to follow God's path. Eddie James and Tommy Woodard, the Skit guys, put it this way. Even though you've admitted the sin and the habits, this is where the hard part begins, and unfortunately where most people give up. Right now, as you're taking inventory of your life, you've probably realized that you may have some stunted growth. We're not talking physically, but spiritually or emotionally. So no more excuses, no more stopping and starting. It's time to really dive deep into the grace that God offers each of us, the grace that can give us the ability to change and grow and be more alive in Him. It's one thing to notice all the negative stuff and write it all down, but it's quite another to roll up our sleeves and get to the self-work that needs doing. This is the hard work, but it's worth it. Every day we are faced with an ultimatum: stay where you are spiritually, or allow God to work in and through you to be everything He planned for you. Ultimatums demand a decision and may call for hard work. Think about this for a moment. What if you truly decided to let go of past regrets and started on a new journey of life? What if you took the road less taken and pursued God's dream that is just for you? What if you decided to take the risk, to take that step in faith and follow a different path? What would that mean for you? The truth is that as you decide to do that, or as you take those steps, the reality is that God is with you. God is there to guide you and to encourage you. God is there with you as you take that risk to travel that road less taken. Unfortunately, most of us won't take that risk. It asks too much of us. But if you want to change, if you want your life to be different, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Several decades ago, M. Scott Peck wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, A New Psychology of Love, Tradition, and Values, and Spiritual Growth. It was really a groundbreaking book at that time. And he starts with this as the premise of this whole book. Life is difficult. Life is difficult. This is a great truth. It is a great truth because once we truly see this truth, we transcend it. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. Because once it's accepted, the fact that life is difficult really no longer matters. Most of us do not fully see this truth that life is difficult. Instead, we moan more or less incessantly, noisily and subtly, about the enormity of our problems, our burdens, and our difficulties, as if life were generally easy, as if life should be easy. We voice our belief, noisily or subtly, that our difficulties represent a unique kind of affliction that should not be, and that has somehow been especially visited upon us, or else upon our families, our tribe, our class, our nation, our race, or even our species, and not upon others. I know about this moaning because I have done my own fair share of it. Life is a series of problems. Do we want to moan about them, or do we seek to solve them? Do we want to teach our children to moan, or teach our children to solve them? The truth is, life is difficult. God never, ever promised us an easy journey. But nothing worth doing is without that risk of uncomfort, challenge, and its fair share of difficulty, and maybe even disappointments. Today in the Church Universal, we mark the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, who was a Roman Catholic priest and a professor of theology in Germany, took a great risk, to nail on the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, his 95 theses. 95 theses of what was wrong with the Roman Catholic Church. That would be like you giving me 100 reasons about what's wrong with our church and just handing it to me some Sunday morning. But maybe that even isn't the risk that Martin Luther took. It wasn't a personal risk. It was a risk that involved his whole future. He professed that the church had too much power, that the priests held all the reins. He believed that the people should have the holy word of God, and he worked hard to translate the Latin Bible into the German vernacular so that everyday people could have the word of God in their own hands, in their own tongue. He also believed that good works did not save us. It was faith alone. And he took a strong stance against the practices of the church that required people to show their good works by, in part, by their financial gifts. Martin Luther said none of that was part of God's plan. For taking that risk, he was excommunicated from the church by Pope Leo the 10th, and he was also declared an outlaw by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, and he was on the run for the rest of his life. He took that risk, and it changed not only him, it changed the world, it changed the church, it changed Western culture. It began a reformation that changed how people looked at themselves. And those changes that started in 1517 worked their way today into our church. For truly, we still believe as United Methodists that we are saved by faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ. And we also believe that God's holy word should be available to all. Martin Luther took that great personal risk, and it changed him, but it also changed the world. We're reluctant to take those risks because it might put us at odds with the world or with our neighbors. But truly, in God's great plan, he asks us to take those risks, to go down that difficult path, to not worry about our comfort, to not worry what people think about us, to not be concerned that we're not up to the challenge, because God is with us. God is there as we take that road that's often been less taken. The scripture that Shirley read for us this morning is the continuation of Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. And it's a reminder to us as well that ministry for Paul and for those Thessalonians was never an easy journey. Paul reminds them that leading a committed Christian life is challenging, and it often involves sacrifice and suffering. But Paul also says that those costs are well worth the results. He loves these fellow believers, and he is amazed at their growth and eagerness to share the gospel. In this passage, Paul reminds us that faith does not guarantee any of us an easy ride, but faith does assure us strength and guidance for living through the difficulties that inevitably arise along life's journey. The road less traveled isn't the easiest route. It isn't the road of least resistance, but is often the route that leads to the greatest satisfaction and joy. It's well worth the cost. Today, as a congregation, we have the opportunity to say thank you to our paid staff, those who give so much to our ministry here. They have decided to serve God and to serve God's people, and that's not ever without its challenges. They juggle family concerns and in some cases even careers to give time to God and God's children, and that's not ever easy to do. To work together in order to please God is a high calling, and at times we might miss the mark. But together we seek to discern the path God would have us go, and we work in our own unique arenas to help others to see their path and to help us together to take that road that's less taken. That shouldn't just be the aim of those who have staff positions. That should be the aim of all of us. That should be what we all strive to do. We should choose to please God, to love God, and to love others. We should strive to be living examples of Christ's love, and we should allow others to see in us the challenges that we face and agree to walk with others as they make difficult decisions themselves and encourage each other as we risk taking a new path, perhaps as individuals or together as this church. Today, if you found yourself standing at a crossroads, which path would you take? The one of comfort and least resistance, or the more difficult one, the challenging one? Would we together choose the road that's less taken? Would we choose the road less taken and let it make all the difference, not only to our lives, but to the lives of all of us together? Would we choose to take the road less taken and let it make a difference in God's world? Amen.